Blog Talk Radio.
Elevate your mind, get yourself together. Elevate your mind, make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind, get yourself together. Elevate your mind, make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind, get yourself together. Elevate your mind, make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind, get yourself together. Elevate your mind, make yourself feel better.
To the very special person listening to this broadcast, welcome to another episode of Taboo Talk, featuring your very own pastor and Christian consultant, me, Lady Charmaine Day. Today's show is guaranteed to be a word in season that is rich, natural, and uplifting. So get ready for a word in season that is sure to uplift your soul and carry you through the week. So how are you doing? I know you're doing marvelous, wonderful, incredible, because I hear nothing but special things about you every day. Like, the listeners of Taboo Talk are really, really nice and special people. They go out their way to make people feel good, and they really just say positive things that encourage everyone. So I just want to give you a round of applause. Yay! I also want to give a special shout-out to all the mothers listening to this broadcast. Thank you so much, Mom, for being the incredible woman of God that you are, for doing what you do every day and making it look effortless, for being such a wonderful woman who is taking your child or children and raising them in the ways of the Lord. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And today, in celebration of you, I have a special woman of God who's going to give her testimony, the incredible and very special Miss Melissa Haynes. Hi, Miss Melissa Haynes. How are you?
Hello, Lady Charmaine. I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for having me here. It's a blessing.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us on this Mother's Day, your testimony that you're getting ready to tell us, because we know it's going to be a blessing, right?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the support and for having me here. I feel honored and privileged.
Thank you. So let's begin with your testimony. In September of 2009, you came on to Taboo Talk, and you blessed the listening audience over a two-part series telling us about your journey. And for those who weren't fortunate enough to hear it, can you please tell us about your pregnancy journey up until 2010?
Okay, sure. Before I even get into that, I just want to say that I always loved children. Ever since I was little, when my brother was born, he was 4 years younger than I am, I just thought I was his mother, pushing his stroller that was way too big for me, and I couldn't even see over. I just loved on him. And whenever family and friends would come by with their newborns, I would ask, could I hold the baby? Could I smell the baby? Could I just hold the baby or touch the baby? You know, things like that. So it's always been in my heart that I thought when I was a little girl, whenever I get married, I can't wait to get pregnant and have my own children. So that was something that I thought would come natural and easily, but it has been a journey. And so I will start by telling you that in 2006, I had a miscarriage, my first miscarriage. I had never been pregnant before. And how I found out was, one day, well, actually, just to start, my husband and I were trying, and it was planned for us to get pregnant because, and it has to be planned for me because I am bipolar and I am on medication, so I have to make sure that things are aligned the way that they need to be and be in conjunction with a GYN and also my doctor who takes care of me mentally, so all of these things had to be in place, so what we had decided to do was to wean off of the medication, and for the first 3 months, you know, when the baby is developing and is, you know, critical, we would be off of the medication and then get back on so that I could be stable. And we decided that because I had experience with being off the medication before and not really having any side effects for about 9 months, so we figured I would be okay. So when we weaned off the medication in May of 2006, in June, one night I woke up, it was a Sunday night, and I was on all fours in so much pain. I was having cramping and severe bleeding. But I thought that this was just my regular cycle because I had been checking all along to see if I was pregnant, taking tests and things like that, and nothing showed up. So I just thought I was having a really bad, you know, cycle. So it got to the point where I was just, you know, crying out to God for help, and my husband was like, listen, we need to go to the ER. Like, this is not normal. Something's wrong. So we go to the ER, doubled over in pain. They give me one of the gurneys I could lay on, and the doctors run some tests. They took some blood work. Basically, the doctor comes back, and he's like, who's this? He's talking about Fred, my husband. I'm like, oh, he's my husband. And he's like, do you mind if I speak in front of him? And I'm like, sure. He's like, well, basically, you tested slightly positive for pregnancy. And I'm like, slightly positive? And I look at Fred, and then I'm trying to figure out, should I be happy? Should I be sad? Like, you know, what does slightly mean? And we're like, what? You know, and it was a shock because we were just like, well, wow, we're pregnant. But then he's like, well, we believe the baby is passing on its way passing. That's why you're having the cramping sensations and you're having so much blood loss. So we believe that's what's happening. But because they didn't have a maternity ward or anything like that, they couldn't run the full gamut of tests that they needed to, and he said I would need to follow up with an OBGYN pronto the next day. So, you know, to hear some news like that, this is your first time being pregnant, and then to follow it up with, well, you're actually losing the baby, it was devastating, and we didn't really know how to handle it. So I had actually went to this OBGYN. I didn't really have a relationship with her. Another doctor had recommended her, and I went by myself. Fred had asked me if I wanted him to come, and I told him no, trying to be strong, which was really just dumb. I thought I could handle it on my own. In hindsight, I wish that he had come because maybe things would have went a lot smoother at the doctor's. Basically, when I went to the OBGYN, she wasn't really clear with me as to whether or not I was losing the baby. You know, sometimes doctors speak in their lingo and they think that you can understand them like you're a doctor, and I just didn't know everything that she was saying. And I would just say, okay, you know. And so I left the office feeling like, well, maybe there's a hope that this is a viable pregnancy. And she said I would have to keep coming in for blood tests so that she could check on my levels of the HCG hormone, which is the pregnancy hormone, to see how the pregnancy is progressing. So in the end, it went down to zero, which is what is supposed to happen when you're having a miscarriage. And the reason why they make sure it goes down to zero is to check to see if it's not an ectopic pregnancy, which could be a pregnancy in your tube or anywhere else other than the uterus. So that was the miscarriage that happened then. And Fred and I, you know, we were just in shock. And Fred went back to work, and I went back to work the very next day. And people looked at me as if I had three heads, like, why are you here? And I really just didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to process it, And so, you know, that was what we did with it. We just moved on as if sort of nothing happened. Then we decided we were going to take a little break, but we knew that we would try again. I want to say that during this time, I think I sort of got desperate in terms of making this happen. Like, I would check my ovulation levels, and I would check the calendar and see when this is happening and that is happening, and I got really obsessed with it all. And you know, I wrote things in my Bible and was even so bold as to say to God, you know, I want to be pregnant in 2008 with twins and this and that, and this is what I want. And you know, and not really giving myself time to grieve or to get over the loss or to try and figure out what God wanted for me. So I wound up getting pregnant again in 2008. This time I was aware that I was pregnant, but I was having severe bleeding. Something told me to go check. I was at work one day, and something said, you know, go just buy a pregnancy test and check it out. I was spotting, and when I looked at it, it showed up fairly positive, like two lines. I'm like, is that a positive? And I couldn't wait to talk to my husband about it, because I was just like, oh my God, it's happening. So I went home and I took two more tests, and they were showing, you know, positive, but it was faint. But they say even a faint positive is a positive. So I had this whole thing planned where I put up petals and a little teddy bear and all these things, you know, because I'm excited now that's, you know, finally happening for me. And Fred was excited, and, you know, we were thinking, okay, this is it. I had switched OBGYNs at that point because I really wasn't satisfied with the service I got last time. And not to say that the one that I moved to was any better, because every time we went through the receptionist, they would play their little games, and sometimes the doctors wouldn't get my messages. But anyway, when I finally saw the nurse practitioner, she asked me, why do you think you're pregnant? And I thought that was a strange question. And I was like, well, because when I took the test, it showed up positive. She said, well, our test doesn't show that it's positive. And I'm like, oh, my God. And she's smiling, which I thought was an odd reaction to have to tell someone like that. And she was like, well, we're going to, you know, run some tests, and I'll give you an exam, and we'll see what's going on. And after she gave me the exam, she was like, well, we're not really clear whether or not you're pregnant, but we're going to do a blood test, and that'll tell the tale, and I'll call you tomorrow. If it's low, that means that the baby's passing. If it's high, then it's a viable pregnancy. She calls, she says it's low, and I'm like, okay. It was about like 64. It was very low. And I was just like, oh, my God, here we go again. And so she said that I would have to come in again because, of course, they'd have to do the blood work till it goes to zero and make sure everything was okay. Well, when we went back there, she felt, for whatever reason, that she didn't need to run the blood test. She said, oh, I feel that it was low and it's just going to pass on its own, which wasn't proper protocol because I learned that from the previous miscarriage. So in my spirit, I was like, well, maybe I should have her just take the blood test anyway, but I didn't do it. And I was just like, we let it go. And this time, I did give myself time to grieve. I took some time off of work and tried to get myself together. And, you know, it was hard. It was very difficult, and I just couldn't understand how, you know, this kept happening. Like, you know, Lord, this is unfair. You see your child. Like, what's going on? And so maybe 3 weeks later, I had a dream that I had took a pregnancy test, and this positive sign, a plus, very strong, came up. And I said, wow, that was a weird dream. And I said, well, maybe I need to go take a pregnancy test. Here we go again. Let me try. And I went to CVS, and then this guy comes up to me, one of the workers, and he's like, twins. And he's laughing. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, whenever you do finally get pregnant, you're going to be pregnant with twins. He's like, I've been this way all my life, and I've never been wrong. And I'm like, okay, well, I am, you know, going to test to see if I'm pregnant. He's like, well, that's what it'll be. And I'm like, okay. So I take the test. Sure enough, within a minute, I get a very strong positive plus sign. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And I'm like, well, you know, how is this even possible? So I didn't even wait for Fred to get home. I called him. I'm like, honey, I have some news. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I have a positive pregnancy test in my hand, and I think I'm pregnant. And he's like, how is that possible? I'm like, I don't know. And he's just like, this is crazy. I'm like, I know, I don't know. And so he's like, well, we need to make an appointment. I was like, okay. He said, but this time we're going to keep it quiet, you know, and let's just wait and see what happens. So we were like, okay. So we were waiting for our appointment. And it just so happened that one day I was getting ready for work in the shower, and I started to feel these pains in my stomach, and I'm like, oh, my God. And it was really bad, and I started not to be able to breathe. I thought I had the shower up too high or, you know, too hot. I got back in the bed. I was just laying there, and I could barely breathe. And Fred was still sleeping. He wakes up. What's wrong? And I barely edged out. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. He calls the paramedics. They come, you know, and they're working on me, and they're saying, we got to take you in. Are you pregnant? I'm like, yes, we believe I'm pregnant. And so they had to wheel me out of my apartment. And every bump that we passed over, I could feel. It was horrible. And even in the ambulance ride, and those rides are supposed to be smooth, everything I felt was just horrible. We get there, and they were going to send me home. they weren't even going to check me out. And Fred's like, look, she's pregnant. We believe she's pregnant. She's bleeding. She's having pain. She can't breathe. You need to check her out. And so finally they agreed that they were going to run their test because they knew we were going to see my OBGYN and they just didn't want to do the work. But they did. And basically they came back with, at this point, your HCG levels, which is the pregnancy hormone that lets you know how pregnant you are, is so high that we should see something, and we don't see anything. We believe it's in your tube. And I'm like, they're like, we have to do surgery and get it out immediately. I'm like, oh, my God, I've never had surgery before. This is crazy. So Fred was like, we need a second opinion, and he wants to call our doctors, and he's trying to get them on the phone. Meanwhile, I'm starting to have trouble breathing again. I'm gasping for air, and I said, get the doctors in here. The doctor comes in, and she's like, listen, let me tell you some of the signs so that you can know if this is what's going on with you. You should feel pain in your shoulder, in your left shoulder or your right shoulder. It's a very sharp pain. I had that. She said, every time you move, it's painful. You know, try to walk, it's painful because the blood is running up against your organs. So that's why you feel pain, and you only feel comfort when you're lying still. And I was like, I had that. I said, okay. And she was like, and basically, we don't have a lot of time. That's because your tube is ruptured, and you're losing a lot of blood, and you need to make a decision. So finally, I was just like, fine, let's do the surgery. So give me the papers. I'll sign the papers. You know, and then Fred gets, you know, a confirmation from the doctors on the phone. Yes, they should do the procedure. At that point, I really didn't care what they had to say. I just wanted to feel better. I was in so much pain. And we get upstairs, and they're taking me into where I'm getting ready to go to the OR, and I have to say goodbye to Fred. And that instant, I'm thinking I'm scared a little bit, and I'm like, am I going to see him again? And I just had to try and be positive. And when I saw the doctor, he was actually African. Immediately, I calmed down. I was like, whew, thank God, it's going to be okay. And I had the surgery, and my mom, my sister, they came. They were all, you know, waiting with Fred. And they were my mom and my sister were the first people that I saw when I woke up from the anesthesia. Actually, I saw...
Because we were in the recovery room.
Right. And I saw one guy before I saw you two, and he said, we took 500 cc's of blood from you. That's about a liter. And then he did with his fingers just how much of my tube they had to cut out. And I said, the only thing I could get out was, can I still have children? And he said, yes. And I said, thank you. And I knocked right back out. And then when I woke up, that's when I saw you and Mommy.
Well, I need to interrupt you here
mm-hmm.
because we have 11 minutes left, and I just want to make sure we get in some key points.
Okay.
Okay. So, obviously, you have been through a very rough experience.
Yes.
In your journey to have children.
Yes.
And I'm so sorry that you experienced that.
Thank you.
But like many women who try to have children, sometimes they go through miscarriages.
Yes.
Sometimes they have the experience of losing their right tube or their left tube or have a miscarriage so bad where they lose a lot of blood like you did.
Right.
And one of the things that I wanted to say is that when you're going through all of this, God wants you to, as it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Yes. Yes.
And like in John 14, 27, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And in Isaiah 49, 13, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted one.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, I want you to remember that in Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it's with that point I want you to tell us what happened from 2010 to now, briefly, so that people can know that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, God is good. Yes, there was a lot of suffering. There was a lot of things I needed to learn and get myself together before I could really received this blessing. But mm-hmm. I want to say that God puts people in position to help you. I had mm-hmm. jury duty in 2009 and made a friend with this woman. Her name is Kefra, and she's just a beautiful sister in the Lord. And it's funny how we met. We met in a McDonald's. I was sitting there by myself, and she asked if she could sit with me. And I was like, that was strange. This never happened to me before. And she prayed over her food, and I wound up sharing my story with her, and she wound up sharing her story with me. We were both sort of in the same boat, but she wound up having adopted her child. And I knew that, you know, she would have a positive spin on it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, well, that's great. And so I saw her another time after that. And then, you know, we were on our way, and we exchanged numbers and said we would keep in touch. And for mm-hmm. whatever reason, I would always email her and check on her and see how she was doing. So with that last OBGYN, I wasn't happy with them. So I'm trying to figure out, where am I going to go? And I got it in my spirit, call Kefra. She can help you. And I'm like, that's weird. I barely know this woman. I don't have a relationship mm-hmm. with her to call her about an OBGYN, but I said, I'm going to be obedient. I called her. We were playing tag for a while, but then she got my email, and she gave me a list of doctors. And I'm happy to say the doctor that delivered my baby actually was one
Wait,
of the
hold
doctors.
On.
Yes, it is true. The doctor that I used came through her.
So the good news is you had a baby.
Yes, I did. And I just want to say that, you know, going through what I went through, it was hard, but I think that I had a lot to learn. And one of the things I would encourage women who are trying to have babies, don't think you can do it in your own strength. Because I think mm-hmm. that was my problem. I'm a very, mm-hmm. you know, I can be controlling and, you know, try to have things organized and in order and do things in my own strength. And that's where God steps in and he says, you know, you can't do this. This is my thing. You have to hold mm-hmm. on to me, and you have to mm-hmm. trust in me. And, you know, it's in my time, and we have to get on the same page. And my page was my page, and it wasn't about his page and his will for my life. And so I started, you know, pressing into the Lord more, and I started letting go. You know, they say let go and let God. It sounds so trite, you know, but it's true. I had a lot of things I had to let go of, and I had a lot of things I had to let God take care of. And when that started to happen, I started to get more positive about it. I started getting information from different sources that I could lean on, and I started saying to my husband, when we pray over our food, we're going to pray and speak in that we're pregnant and we're thanking God for this healthy baby. And we started that. And then we also started tithing. We pressed into God like no other. And we got stronger as a couple, and we believed. And not saying I didn't believe before, but I believed more in what I could do. And when I started to believe in what God could do the impossible. I'm left with one tube. And, you know, the chances of that, I'm thinking, like, are very, very slim. And, you know, the doctors that I went to, they were so positive. I've never had such a blessed experience. That when I was examined, she was like, oh, you're in excellent shape. Like, you know, speaking blessings over yourself, speaking blessings over me. And that's what needed to happen. You have to start speaking your reality. Call those things which be not as though they were.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you got pregnant in 2010, right?
Yep, we started tithing in May, and we're pregnant in June.
Praise God. And your beautiful baby girl was born March 5th, 2011, right?
Yes, praise the Lord. God is good.
Praise God. So for all you ladies out there who are in waiting to have your blessing, let me tell you, as you can hear from Melissa's story, sometimes it's a matter of time. You know, we tend to be a microwave world, wanting things quickly and instantly. And, you know, we got to recognize, like Melissa said, sometimes we got to go through a pruning and a nurturing and a maturing in God so that we can be the best mother and our husbands be the best father for our children.
Yes.
Because it's not going to happen before it's time.
That's That's
it's not going to happen before it's time. Well, Melissa, we're coming to the close of the show. I want to thank you so much for coming on Taboo Talk and letting all the listeners who listened to your story in 2009 and now today who wondered what happened, and now they hear the Praise God report that God delivered to you a miracle.
Hallelujah.
That you went through trials and tribulations, but in the end,
amen,
God's word did not tarry. And it says in Habakkuk, chapter 2, though the vision tarries, wait for it. For what?
It will surely come.
And it will,
it
not,
will not
tarry.
Tarry.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, write it down. Write the vision down so you can run with it.
That's right.
You know, make your request plain. So, praise God. God will do everything for you. And last, I wanted to say that in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns his face towards you and gives you peace. So you will have peace, my sisters and brothers. You will have peace that surpasses all understanding. Because like Melissa said, she drew closer and pressed into God. She didn't lean on her own understanding anymore towards the end. She leaned towards God for his wisdom, his knowledge, his grace, his peace, his mercy, for him to take control of what's his in any way, you know, for him to bless her with this miracle of life. And she knew that God would bless her. She never lost faith, regardless of what the circumstances are. And let me tell you something. When you got a reality situation where some people are saying, oh, no, this may be mission impossible for you now, you know, God is a God of impossibilities.
Amen.
According to Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible.
That's
nothing.
Right.
God can and will do miraculous things in your life, and you just have to trust and believe in it. And a living, walking testimony of that is Miss Melissa Haynes, her husband Fred, their walk in the Lord to believe for their child over years. It started in 2006, and it ended in 2011, a five-year goal.
Praise the Lord.
God is good.
Yes,
thank you
is.
Again, Melissa Haynes, for coming aboard. And for those of you who don't know, Miss Melissa Haynes is my sister.
Hey!
Yes, yes, okay.
Yes.
So she has an inside scoop here. You know, I can tell you the truth. And for all of those who know, over the last 2 years, I've been saying, I said, I got a Praise God report. There's a sister who was believing for a baby, and God made a way out of no way. I was talking about her, so you could know. You know, now I'm able to say clearly, you know, and give her the shout-out before I wasn't able to disclose that. So, you know, I have been talking about her, but in code. So prayer does work. You
yes.
know, remain faithful. God answers prayers. I want to end the show by letting you know that you are a very, very special listener of Taboo Talk. There's nothing you can't do or accomplish, and that by being the best person you are making God look great. You are a good parent. You're a good sister, brother, mother, father. You're a good friend. And you know what? People depend on you for who you are. So continue to do those things to uplift the world, and God will continue to bless you with more grace, favor, and mercy, because you are very, very special. If you haven't already, please log on to www.LadyCharmaineDay.com for more information about what's going on in my ministry, how to reach me, how to become part of my Facebook fan page, and how to purchase something from my store. And lastly, do what you have to do to continue to do those things that are going to bring your highest good. Don't block your blessings. Move out your own way. And you know what? God will reward you. Remember, you are special. Be blessed, not stressed. Goodbye.
Bye.
Elevate your mind. Get yourself together. Elevate your mind. Make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind. Get yourself together. Elevate your mind. Make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind. Get yourself together. Elevate your mind. Make yourself feel better. Elevate your mind. Get yourself together.
elevate your mind. Make yourself feel better.